Matthew 15, verses 10 to 28. And he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He answers, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone, they are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answers, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. I'm going to pray and then Mark's going to come up. Dear Lord, I pray tonight that you may give us open hearts and minds. May you be willing for us to be shaped by Jesus' words. May your gospel ever fashion us into his image. I pray that your spirit may move, may prompt, may see us, help us to see the areas where we need to improve, areas where we need to sin less, areas where we need to cherish your love and mercy and generosity more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Matt, for leading us and then having this time where we read together. We're coming to a second part of the series, or two-part sermon, whatever. And the question tonight before us is, what flows from our heart? As we diagnose our heart, as we look and see what's there, what are we like, the question tonight is, what flows from our heart? And that's the question Jesus is going to help us answer, or answers for us, from Matthew chapter 15. I would like to pray one more time before we jump into the text, and then we'll jump in with both feet. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do ask that you would please teach us by your Spirit. Help our minds to hear and to understand the truth of your word. And we ask this in your name. Amen. What's the dirtiest source of pollution in your home? You might think it might be something like the stove or the gas grill or the oven, especially if you burn dinner, you know, and you get a little bit of smoke coming off there. Or maybe it's what you think would be the gray water coming off of your dishwasher or your washing machine. If you've ever had a toilet backup, then you might consider the toilet being the number one offender of gross things in your home that pollute. Maybe you might think of moral pollution. I've heard people describe television as a big sewer pipe that comes into our home. And maybe the modern equivalent would be the internet, and that would qualify as the source of the biggest moral pollution in our lives. However, when Jesus explains this parable, none of that is mentioned. Not just because those are modern things and he lived back then, but the polluter that he mentions that's uglier than a plugged-up toilet, that's morally more dirty than the TV or the internet, is what he says in verses 19 and 20 of our text. It's our heart. Look at what he says in verse 19 and 20. "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. Our hearts defile or pollute our relationship with God. We're unclean to Him. Now, this parable is meant to rattle us. It's meant to make the listener think deeply about their hearts before God. So if this rattles you, and if you get to the point in the sermon where you're just going, okay, Mark, enough, then you've reached it. You've reached the point that you're supposed to reach. The point where you go, wow, this is really overwhelming. That's where you're supposed to get to as you consider Jesus' words here before us. See, Jesus says in verse 10, towards the end of verse 10, he says, listener, hear and understand. So we're going to consider these ideas tonight, and they might offend us. And if you're offended, don't switch off. Join in instead. Consider what Jesus says and make sure that what you're offended about is a reasonable thing. If you're not offended, don't tune out and say, this is for those other people, those dirty people around me, those naughty people around me. Consider why this passage is not offending you. In other words, it should offend you. There should be something in here that you kind of go, wow, this is really bad. You see, we all need to hear and understand. And then Jesus gives us more teaching. Then we can turn to God for the help that we need based on the truth that we hear and understand. First thing I think we need to consider, I'm just going to ask a series of questions as we work our way through the text. The first thing I think we need is, what does defile mean? What does it mean to defile? Because I can't think of the last time I've heard that in the news or, you know, on television or read it in a book even. Defile appears five times in this passage, in verse 11 and then again in verses 18 and 20. The simple meaning of defile is this: uncleanness that separates us from God. Uncleanness that separates us from God. It concerns the relationship that we have, that people have to God. People are unclean. So God cannot have an intimate relationship with those who are unclean. So they are defiled. So in chapter 15, think through what we read, what Matt read to us earlier, and think through, there's differences between the way the Pharisees thought about defilement and the way Jesus thought about defilement. There's a difference, a big difference between the two. The Pharisees, look back in verse 2 of chapter 15. Here's the question the Pharisees ask: why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat? Okay, so the Pharisees are worried about washing your hands. Well, Jesus makes it clear, if you look down in verse 11 of our passage, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. See, the Pharisees are focused on external washing, making sure that everything outside is nice and clean and we look good. And whereas Jesus is focused on something internal, isn't he? Something inside of us, something that comes out of us. To clarify the problem, if being defiled is an external problem, then let's all just wash our hands and get clean clothes and put on deodorant and look good. But if being defiled is an internal thing, what can be done? Before we see the answer to that question, though, let's consider who's offended in this passage. The question is, who is offended? And that question's answered in verses 12 to 14 of our passage. When the disciples report to Jesus in verse 12, they say, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard the statement that Jesus made in verse 11? What did he say in verse 11? Well, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out. This is what defiles a person. And the Pharisees got offended at that. In addition, the Pharisees would have also heard what was said earlier, Jesus' rebuke to them in verses 8 and 9, concerning their hearts, and that's what Matt read us from Isaiah, concerning the hearts of these people being far from God, and their worship being vain or worthless. It meant nothing, the kind of worship that they gave to God. Now think about it. In Jesus' day, you recall that the Pharisees were the decent religious folk. They were the decent people. If you wanted to know how to get to God, how to earn your salvation, or how to be right with God, then you went to the Pharisees. And you watched them, and you did what they did. You followed them. Externally good. Concerned to do all the right things, to tick all the right boxes. People looked up to them. And that's probably why Jesus' disciples asked this question. Jesus, you just ticked off all the religious people, all the good people. Do you realize, Jesus, that you just did that? So it's quite stunning when Jesus goes even further. He just offended them, and he goes even further. He says at the end of verse 13, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up." Whoa. Okay, now you might not get that when you first think about it. But imagine a garden. The plants are those things that are cultivated, right? Nurtured, taken care of. Ask Bruce. He's a farmer. You know, you just know this. Ask my daughter. She loves to take care of plants. You nurture them. You cultivate them. What do you pick up out of the garden? What do you remove? What do you root out? Weeds. Jesus is saying, his saying reveals that the Heavenly Father considers these Pharisees weeds. They're in danger of being rooted up. And then he goes even further. So he's offended them. He calls them weeds. And then in verse 14a, he says, "Let them alone." Jesus is offended too, not just the Heavenly Father, but Jesus is offended by these religious folk. He's ready to let them and their followers, look at the end of verse 16, fall into a pit. If the Father considers them a weed, and Jesus would let them blindly fall into a pit, these people are headed for terrible judgment. Right? So Jesus' message to his followers, to his disciples, and to us here, is that offending religious people is not what we should be concerned for. And it's not what Jesus is concerned for. What he's concerned for is offending God. What he's concerned for is what's offensive to God. What bothers the Father? And for us, what bothers Jesus? Offending religious people is not Jesus' concern in this passage. It's defilement. It's pollution that would disrupt our relationship with God. The problem is, God is offended. And so, that's the important one. So the next question is then, who is defiled? Is it just the religious people? You know, is it just those guys over there, the religious types who try and, get right with God by external washing and all that? Is it just them, those religious folk? And if these people are defiled, why are they defiled? What's going on here? Well, look at verses 18 and 19. The straightforward answer in verse 18 and 19, who is defiled? Well, it's anyone who, well, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Those people who are defiled are those whose heart is producing these things. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. Is it just the religious people that act this way? I think he's probably described me, anyway, in that list. Everyone is defiled. Everyone has these things coming out of our heart. Haven't you, this week, thought an evil thought, at least inwardly? And then acted on that thought at some point? You see, it's not because we don't wash properly, not because we're not religious enough. It's but because our hearts produce these things, produce the list that we see in verse 19. We are defiled. And our actions, our rebellious acts, just prove that our hearts directly disobey God. Our rebellion offends God. We are all, therefore, defiled, unclean, each and every one of us. Also note here, too, that the rebellion against God actually evidences itself, it shows itself in acts that directly harm other people. And that's important because, you know, when Jesus was asked, summarize the commandments. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he links them together. If you love God, you'll love your neighbor. But if I'm doing evil to my neighbor, thinking evil of my neighbor, murdering, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander, if those are the things that I'm doing, then I really can't be loving God either, right? If I'm doing evil to my neighbor. Our mind, our mouth, our movements, our motivations towards others, all that reveal a heart that is polluted, defiled, unclean. We just need to check our hearts for maybe a day and go, how did I do today? What did I think of today? What happened today? Oh yeah, I messed up. I didn't do right. I didn't help others. I didn't love others the right way. So far, what do we know? First, the defilement means, or to defile means, an uncleanness that separates us from God. The second is that our offense against the Heavenly Father and Jesus is much more important than offending any religious people or practice. Okay, offending God, much more important than offending people. And third, everyone has offended God because we all demonstrate to varying degrees our rebellion against following Him and His Word. All of us then, I think we can conclude, we're in a bad situation, a terrible situation. We could be condemned. So we need to ask two more questions. Who is condemned? And then who has shown mercy from our text? First, let's see who is condemned. Now, it's a terrible prospect. But I think verse 14 indicates that the Pharisees and those who follow them are in extreme danger. And there's at least two reasons that we're seeing in the text that help us to understand that. First, Jesus tells everyone in verse 10. To hear and understand. Everyone is told to do this. The instruction is actually a command. It's in the Greek, it's imperative. It just means you need to do this. So hear and understand is a command. You need to do this. Jesus is telling everyone around, the crowd, the disciples, the Pharisees, everyone who's gathered, listen to this truth. Hear and understand. But look at what the religious leaders do. Instead of embracing it, What do we read? The Pharisees got offended. In fact, what they really did was reject what Jesus was saying. What you're saying doesn't apply to us, Jesus. What you're saying is not for me. I'm good enough. The Pharisees outright rejected what Jesus said. That's the first indication that they're in danger. But the second is similar. In the second command, that's in the imperative, in the Greek in this section, is in verse 14, and we read it earlier. It's what Jesus says to his disciples when he says to them, "Leave them alone." It's a command. He's telling his disciples, don't touch them, don't talk to them anymore. Don't give them the truth, leave them alone. In other words, Jesus is telling his followers, don't bother to correct them. Those who are willfully blind, they will lead their followers to destruction. Leave them alone. That is absolutely chilling, isn't it? To be thinking that these willfully blind people won't receive the truth, and Jesus is going to let them and their followers fall into a pit. That's harsh, isn't it? Those are the people in danger of condemnation. So religious external actions, the Pharisees were known for it. Their thoroughness at being religious and being clean outwardly. Those religious external actions do not cleanse us. And so Jesus says that only those who seek an internal cleansing will be changed. Here's what he says again, just a reminder, verse 8 and 9. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. See, it's the heart that is defiled, and it can only be cleansed internally. If we seek only an external cleansing, then our relationship with God is fake, since the defiled heart can only offer vain worship. So if the external religion and religiosity, if you want to put it that way, is condemned, then how can we be cleansed internally? And that leads us to our final question. Who is shown mercy in this passage? The answer is really a reverse of the Pharisees. And the hint is this: who does Jesus help in this section of Scripture? Who does he help? Well, the first group he helps the disciples, first off, by explaining the parable. The disciples still didn't quite understand, did they? In verse 16 and 17, he helps them to hear and understand. He explains the parable. He doesn't leave them alone like he did the Pharisees. He doesn't say, well, fine, you guys don't get it, get out of here. He actually says, no, I'm going to take time with my disciples. They need to understand, and I'm going to explain it to them. And so Jesus wants his disciples, his followers, to hear and understand. So he takes time to teach them. But not only by extension does he teach them, but he teaches those who follow them as well. We know from other passages in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is given so that we might understand. Understand what? The message of the apostles. The message of Jesus through the apostles to us. And so we benefit because Jesus wants us to hear and understand. Who is shown mercy? Well, those who come to hear and understand are the ones that receive mercy. But also, look at the passage additionally, immediately following this passage in verse 21 to 28, Jesus hears a plea for mercy from a Canaanite woman. Now, I want you to note just a few things, and I'm just going to go through this quickly before we close. Just note a few things about this Canaanite woman. First off, she was a Canaanite. Canaanites, by definition, if you're not in Israel, you are in Canaanite land, and if you're a Canaanite, you are unclean. Okay? It's like calling someone a Gentile. He calls this woman later on a dog. Okay? She is unclean. She has no acceptable religious worship or practice. Her religion is paganism. And she's a Canaanite. She is unclean. She's an outsider. She's not in the house of God as far as being in the nation of Israel at this point. So really, she has no claim on God's promises. She's not an Israelite. She can't claim God's promise. She's unclean, she's an outsider, and she's oppressed. Her daughter, more to the point, is oppressed. If you look at verse 22, she's oppressed by a demon. And the mother is pleading for Jesus to take care of this demon, to alleviate the oppression. So if anyone is unclean, it's this outsider, and she deserves to be oppressed. But consider her approach to Jesus. First off, she's needy. Verse 22, we see her crying when she comes to make her plea to Jesus. Down in verse 23, it says that she was crying out. The disciples wanted to send her away. She was being a loud, obnoxious person, crying out. She was needy. She was humble. Verse 25, what did she do? She comes and she kneels down before Jesus. The guy who had just told her to get away, I didn't come for anyone but the lost sheep of Israel, she now comes and kneels before him. She's humble. She calls Jesus her Lord, not just once. Verse 22, verse 25, verse 27, she appeals to Jesus as her Lord, the Son of David. So she's needy, she's humble, and she's desperate to receive. She's desperate to receive mercy. First time, look at this. Jesus did not listen to her. Verse 23, it says that he did not answer her. She talks to him and he didn't answer her. And then in verse 24, it says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. He brushes her off. I am not sent to Canaanite women, is sort of the thrust of what Jesus says. And then verse 26, he tries to offend her. Now before he offended the Pharisees just by saying, you know, it's not what goes into a man, it's what comes out of a man. Here he says, well, I can't throw the bread to the dogs. Verse 26, I don't give the children's bread to dogs. And she says, well, but even dogs eat from the master's table, the crumbs. You see, in the end, this woman received mercy because she trusted the one sent to those who are oppressed and in need. Those who are unclean, she trusted in Jesus. Those who know that they have no claim on God, those who will humbly admit their need and are desperate to receive the mercy that Jesus freely provides. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, when my thoughts prove that our hearts are defiled, that they need to be cleansed, then we need to turn to hear and understand that there is one who cleanses internally, who washes our hearts and restores us so that we are not defiled in our relationship. And secondly, when you are able to love others in areas of your life where you see that, wow, God has made it so that I understand mercy, and I have received mercy so that I can love other people rightly. When you see that, don't pat yourself on the back. Recognize that it's God Himself working in you that has allowed you to love others rightly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we recognize in these words, in this teaching before us, that each one of us here do certainly fall into the category of defiled. And yet, Lord, we would admit freely our need, that we have no claim on you, but that you, by your Spirit, work in us. And Lord, we need cleansing, and so we plead for mercy. But then, Lord, more than that, we plead for the strength, for the wisdom, for the ability in our lives to love others rightly. Lord, I do pray for anyone here who still doesn't know you yet. I pray that you would open ears to help them to hear and open their mind to help them understand and change their heart so that they might trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.